Our scripture lesson today comes from John chapter 15, the first 15 verses. I think it's pretty appropriate for today. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 15. Jesus speaking these words, John the gospel writer putting them together. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, whatever you wish, it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." May God add his passage blessings to this as we seek him in prayer. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you. The words that I speak today, given to me by you, for all of us to share in, for a strengthening, for a quickening, for a lifting, for a repairing. As we go from here, Father, let these words be upon our heart. Let us walk through this sermon, these times spent together, strengthening us to be ready to go out and speak openly of our Jesus, the Christ, our Savior. In his name we pray and thank you. All of his children said, amen. All right. First of all, let me be clear, crystal clear, on a few things today before I get started. Number one, I am absolutely opposed to war. I don't want you to ever mistake that. It happens, but I wish it did not have to. Number one. Number two, I understand that might is sometimes needed to suppress evil. Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And unfortunately, sometimes the peacemakers have to make peace. Number three, I believe in this country. And I am not ashamed, even just this much, to ever show my patriotism or love for America. Ever. You understand me? Ever. And finally, I believe that this nation comes from God, is watched over by God, is blessed by God, and one day he will take us from here, as our faith in Jesus Christ teaches, and America will cease to exist, and we will reign with him forever in heaven. If you believe me, say amen.
Amen.
I don't ever want anyone to mistake my ability to love this country. You see, one of the things that we're taught as pastors is don't take sides. What? You're supposed to take a side, right? You're supposed to take the side of Jesus Christ. No, Paul, you don't want to stand up in there and talk about the flag and talk about our country and war and blah, 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 blah. Shut up. I will. And I don't care what you have to say about it. Because we are here because God blesses us so. We are in this church because there are many, many who have gone on before us that gave their lives for us to be able to do so. And in this country today, we can walk into any church we want and sit down and worship. I can guarantee you there are a plethora, and yes, I know the meaning of that word, of countries out there that you cannot without fear of your life being taken. Now, that being said, this sermon, I promise you, will drip with sentimentality and patriotism. So get ready. I got to get my face set right. I need a bottle of water to try to pull this off. Turning once again, and this time more generally, to the question of invasion. I would observe that there has never been a period in all of these long centuries of which we boast when an absolute guarantee against invasion, still less against serious raids, could have been given to our people. In the days of Napoleon, of which I was speaking just now, the same wind would have carried his transports across the channel and might have driven away the blockading fleet. There was always the chance, and it is that chance which has excited and befooled the imaginations of many continental tyrants. Many are the tales that are told. We are assured that novel methods will be adopted, when we will see the originality of malice, the ingenuity of aggression, which our enemy displays. We will certainly prepare ourselves for every kind of novel strategism and every kind of brutal and treacherous maneuver. I think that no idea is so outlandish that it should be not considered and viewed without searching. But at the same time, I hope, with a steady eye, we must never forget the solid assurances of sea power and those which belong to air power, if it can be locally exercised. I have myself full confidence that if all do their duty, if nothing is neglected, and if the best arrangements are made, as they are being made, we shall prove ourselves once more to be able to defend our island home, to ride out the storm of war, to outlive the menace of tyranny, if necessary for years, if necessary alone. At any rate, that is what we are going to try to do. That the resolve of His Majesty's government, every man of them, that is the will of the Parliament and of the nation. The British Empire and the French Republic are linked together in their cause and in their need, and will defend to the death their native soil, aiding each other like good comrades to the utmost of their strength. Even though large tracts of Europe and many old and famous states have fallen or may fall into the grip of the Gestapo and the odious apparatus of Nazi rule, we shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight in the seas and in the oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never, never, never surrender. And if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle. And until, in God's good time, and through His grace and mercy, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to rescue and the liberation of the old. Winston Churchill, 1941. Say amen.
Amen.
I have a hard time getting through that thing. Thank you. He was sending men and women to never return, knowing that he did that. Carrying a weight on his shoulders. By show of hands in here, how many people would have the power, the ability, the fortitude to send men and women to never return? Yeah, me neither. The man took on one of the most thankless jobs of World War II, Prime Minister of England. And everyone wanted him not there until the bombs fell. And they began to see that in the simple strength of a God-fearing man, he wanted to preserve the freedom. In case you didn't understand the last lines, and if for a moment believe, this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, that's America, armed and guarded by the British fleet, that's America, would carry on the struggle until in God's good time and with God's mercy, the new world, that's America, with all its power and might, steps forth to rescue and the liberation of the old. Every time I read that speech, every time I think about what it took for him to sit down and write it, saying simply that our mighty island, the mighty power of the British, lies in the hands of the United States of America. And we answered the call. And it wasn't the first time. And it wasn't going to be the last time. And men and women went forth to defend this piece of cloth. You know, Memorial Day to me is about picnics and barbecues. And for the first time in 13 years, praise the Lord, since I've owned a swimming pool, we actually have it ready on Memorial Day weekend. But it's also about taking 5 minutes to bow your head and thank God above for those who sent those out, for those who went out, and those that stay at home, remembering those who don't return. Amen. We often, too often, let our pride get in the way of humility, and it hurts, but today we proudly, humbly, admittedly honor and bless our country and those who gave our lives to protect it. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, National Guard, fire and rescue, police workers, and Christians. Christians. All of those people have, some with thought and some without thought, given over to the words of Jesus Christ, love one another. These brave men and women do not march into the face of danger because they want to be heroes. They do not march into the face of danger knowing that some of them will never return because of the accolades. They do not march into the face of danger because it's the thing to do. It's nouveau riche. It looks really cool on a resume. They march into the face of danger because they love one another. Greatest soldier of all time, Jesus Christ. I just read 15 verses where he lays out the command rule from his Father. I am so struck when I view this country and the beauty of it. You know, a lot of people, I went to Scotland back in 2009. Beautiful country. Loved it over there. They got steam engines. I got around some of them. Got to see one of the engines that I have always wanted to see in my lifetime, which is a Showman's engine. Go home and Google it. But I love my country. When I'm asked, and we play this game a lot at lunch and breakfast or wherever we're gathered together, Wendy and the boys and I play a game. We do something that's kind of starting to become novel. We talk to each other during lunch. We don't whip out cell phones and start looking at what everybody else is saying. We're curious about what we would say. And I'm always curious about what comes out of the mouth of these two. But sometimes it'll make your head hurt, and sometimes it'll make you laugh simple. And we always play this game. Where do you want to go in the world? America. I could see all of this country in my lifetime and still not see all of this country. There is a ball of twine out somewhere in Minnesota that I have got to see. World's biggest ball of twine. Anybody ever heard of it? Say amen. I need to see that. You understand me? I need to go and see Tombstone, Arizona, where my man Wyatt Earp was. I need to go down to the Everglades and ride an airboat looking for alligators. Yeah, buddy. And I'm going to wrestle one of them things. I can do it. You know why? Because I wrestled a lawnmower yesterday. We all know, if I'd had my way when we got married, where we would have honeymooned at. At the Henry Ford Museum in Greenfield Village. I haven't made it there yet. But we walk through this country sometimes. We get up and we go to work, or we go and do whatever it is we do, and we don't give a single thought sometimes to what went on to keep us in this situation. They followed commands. And yet, there are those who love this country as much as I do that when the call of evil goes up, they answer. Because evil never sleeps. And to help and have the words of Jesus Christ ring out ever truer. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. French writer, and I've read this before, so I'm reading it again. French writer Alex de Tocqueville, visiting America in 1831, said, "I sought for the greatness of the United States in her commanding harbors, her ample rivers, her fertile fields, her boundless forests, and it was not there. I sought for her in the rich mines, her vast world commerce, her public school system, and her institutions of higher learning, and it was not there. I looked for it in her Democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. If we ever stop remembering those who stepped out before us and said, 'I will go,' you stay home and keep working, we will lose sight of the greatest gift God has ever gave man next to Jesus Christ Almighty. And that's the United States of America." And yet it grows even further when we remind ourselves that we need to take that next step. What is that next step, Paul? Go back to your scripture for a moment. Jesus Christ starts it off this way. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so it will become even more fruitful. Jesus starts us off right in the beginning saying, this is your job. Bear fruit. Bear fruit. Bear fruit. Understand that you will be cut and pruned and grow. And if you keep bearing fruit, you will bear fruit. And then gives us the command, be in me as I am in my Father. That is his job. That is his command. And that is what we step forward on. He lays it out very plainly. If I am this in him and you are this in me, then we are together. And if you're not this, then we're not together. And brothers and sisters, if we're not together, we lose sight of the goal. And if we lose sight of the goal, we become rusty old pieces of barbed wire out in the windstorm, just whipping around whichever way we want to go. And to those who stood up and said, we'll work to maintain the unity, and some gave their lives to do it, today we say thank you. Today, we remind ourselves that because evil never, ever sleeps, there are those who face it in every direction. Dying on a battlefield does not necessarily gain you the glory that old men speak of. Stepping out to that battlefield is what the glory is. I subject to you that he was 99 years old fighting the battle when he was called home. Work's done. It's time to come home. That's it. You've done all you can do. And he led and taught and brought and stepped out time and time again. And if you don't think he sacrificed himself, then you better go back and look at the house he lived in. He didn't do it for money or fame or for fancy cars or for prestige. He did it because God gave Billy Graham a gift to go out and preach to the masses. Some say, well, he wasn't martyred. I tell you, you're wrong. He gave everything of himself away to see to it that the word and gospel of Jesus Christ stayed straight and true down the middle and was brought to everyone that wanted to hear it. He's a good example of a Memorial Day. Down in Arlington, Virginia, is a place that just, I promise you, if you ain't never been there, shame on you. I've been twice. I'm getting my family there sometime. To go and stand at that tomb of the unknown soldier. And what he gave. And what those people that walk that carpet give today in remembrance of those who keep this country free. They walk that carpet because they know that Jesus Christ said, no greater love than this is a man who will lay down his life for another. Yeah, it's a pretty interesting thing. Let me ask you some questions here. Would anybody in this room take a smack in the face for a friend of yours? Say amen. Go ahead, put your hands up. Some of you wouldn't take a smack. I have to remind myself not to call on you when I'm in trouble. How many people would take a kick to the shin? Oh, that hurts, doesn't it? Huh? How many people in here knowing would step in front of something that would take their life to see that life go on? You can put them up real slow. We all would. We all know that the ultimate sacrifice can be called for at any time. Today, I see Memorial Day not just as remembering those great and wonderful men and women that serve us in so many ways, but the great and wonderful men and women that have served Jesus Christ and gave their life to continue on. In 1956, five men boarded an airplane, South America, I believe. They had been trying to make contact with the, and I know I'm going to say it wrong, Pat, is it the Wanati tribe? Wayani? Why had I not? Well, whatever it is. Five men, stalwart Christians, finally had started to make friends with the tribe, landed at 2:30 in the afternoon, supposed to do a radio check at 4:30 that never came. The tribe that they were working to bring Christ to killed them, all five young men. I believe the movie's called The Tip of the Spear, made about their life. But the part that everybody doesn't see is what happened afterwards. The five men that sacrificed their lives, their widows picked up their cause and carried on. And until 10 years later, one of the widows recounts it like this. As I sat in the shade of my hut, built for me by this tribe that had killed my husband, I laid in a hammock with my Bible, watching my children play with the children of that murderer, eating supper with the wife and family of that murderer, whom all came to know Christ because of that sacrifice. So what's it all about? It's all about Jesus Christ laying out a very simple command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Because you have kept my commands, he says. Because you are rallying around. Because you are keeping the number one greatest command ever. Love one another and be willing, ready, and able. I make a lot of fun of it. I do. I get a big kick out of it. But if that phone rang and it was Charles on the other end, Paul, I need you. I need you. I'm out of here. Knowing what I might face over there. But the same phone rings for my brother down the street that is failing. I race to his side. We race to their sides. Memorial Day teaches us to love one another. Memorial Day teaches us that because we fly this beautiful flag high up in the sky and free is because it was paid for by the blood of many who lived by the teachings, whether they knew it or not, of Jesus Christ. I submit to you that the flag of our country is not something bad to look upon. I need all the young children's, that'd be you three, Leo, April, DL, where are you at? Where's Sarah? Toddy? All of you line up on this front bench.
This one.
Do you see another front bench
you
up there?
Steps and bench.
Those are my children. Squeeze in, get tight, sit down. One of you can sit in the chair. There you go, DL. This moment, I speak to you. They're old. All right? In this moment, I want to tell you a story. There was a comedian, his name was Red Skelton. Red Skelton is hilariously funny. He was known as the Clown. And Red Skelton loved this country because he grew up in it. He was a vaudeville actor. He lived the life on the road. He makes the joke that when he was 10 years old, he made it to the 7th grade in school, and he had to quit school because he was hungry and he had to go to work. And so he joined his parents' acting troupe in the vaudeville life, and he went on with it. But Red Skelton had a great love for this country and for those who served it. And he remembered a teacher, and I have the story here. He remembered a teacher that taught him something about this country. It goes this way. He said, when I was a small boy in Vicente's, Indiana, I think one of the most outstanding speeches that I've ever heard in my life, I think it compares with the Sermon on the Mount, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and Socrates' speech to the students. We had just finished reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. Does everybody down here on the bench know the Pledge of Allegiance? Say yes.
Yes.
If you don't talk to me, I'll come down and sit next to you. We had just finished reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. And he, Mr. Lasswell, the principal of Vicente's High School, called us together. He was a little short man that spoke very softly. And he says, boys and girls, I have been listening to you recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester. And it seems it has become monotonous to you. Or could it be that you do not understand the meaning of each word? If I may, I would like to recite the pledge and give you the definition of each word. An individual, a committee of one. Pledge, dedicate all my worldly good to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and devotion. To the flag, our standard, Old Glory, which is a symbol of courage, and wherever she waves, there is respect. Because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. Of the United, that means we have all come together. States, individual communities that have united into 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided by imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common cause, and that is the love of country, of America. And to the republic, a sovereign state, in which power is invested into the representatives chosen by the people to govern, and the government of its people. It is from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God. Indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power for one to live his own life without fears, threats, or any sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle and qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. That means, boys and girls, it is as much your country as it is mine. He writes on, since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country. The two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. In 1969, when he did this on his television show, the United States government had just outlawed prayer in school. He writes, wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that this is a prayer and eliminated the Pledge of Allegiance from our schools as well? Now at this time, knowing what you know about the sacrifice of the men and women that keep this country free for us old folks and for you young folks coming up, would you please stand? That means up. Observe this flag. Brothers and sisters, stand up, please. And join with me in honoring the brave men and women, all branches of the service, and the Christians who have died serving Jesus Christ, that we may spread the gospel in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. You're back. Our cause, brothers and sisters, is just. We remember those who gave their lives to lead and free us. We remember that Decoration Day was about honoring those who honored us, past, present, and future to come. In 1966, President Lyndon B. Johnson designated the official birthplace of the holiday by signing it into proclamation of a presidential order of Waterloo, New York. When he did that, they stopped for 5 minutes of silence and prayer. As we go forth from here today, let us live in the words, "This is my command, love each other." And remind ourselves, take a moment, 5 minutes if you will, and remember those who have kept our way of life free. Now I know in this room there are at least two who have served. Would you please stand up? I thought so. Has anybody else in here served in our military? That's right, Pat did. That's the Army. Brothers and sisters, join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have been strengthened through this message that we would give ourselves our time. And for those that are not here, themselves, to protecting the freedom of this country and the flag and the way it waves, and to protecting our freedom to walk with, to speak of, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many, many have gone on before us. And so, Father, I ask for these blessings as we come forward to you today, and that we would take 5 minutes and be thankful and remind ourselves of the sacrifice of these men and women. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. On this day, today, May 27th.
Yeah, that's right.
On May 27th, this woman, Julia Ward Howe, penned these words that then became a pretty famous hymn after watching the Union march towards preserving the freedom of the country and the release of slavery. "In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on." One of the most beautiful set of words ever put forth. As we go forth from here today, brothers and sisters, I charge you to take those 5 minutes and remember those who have secured our freedom. May God bless you all.